Today's message is entitled, Seek God. The scripture is Acts 17, verses 16 through 34. Let us begin. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is not actually very far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. But others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' So Paul went out from their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy and perfect Father, we thank you for the blessing of your holy inspired word. We thank you that you have recorded for us your holy messages for all people. We pray for an anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us now, that we would have discernment to see and to hear what you desire to reveal. Do not let this preacher get in your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, this message is entitled, Seek God. Reverend Thomas Lambrecht is the vice president of an organization called Good News. And here's an excerpt from an email he sent out this past Friday. "We may be at a crisis point right now. In fact, we are beset by a health crisis with the coronavirus pandemic, an economic crisis with the worst downturn since the Great Depression, and a societal crisis in coming to grips with the evil of racism. Any one of these crises would be challenging enough to deal with on its own. Addressing all three crises at the same time puts us in a situation of biblical proportions. We can count on the fact that God is with us in the midst of these crises. Not only that, but God is ready to act on our behalf in the midst of these crises. As Moses encouraged the Israelites on the shores of the Red Sea, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring to you today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." We can look first and foremost to what God is doing in the midst of our crisis. Through prayer, we can relinquish our needs to be in control and allow ourselves to rest in God's presence and the assurance of His activity on our behalf. My friends, as chaos seems to abound, and the father of lies is still prince of this world, I take comfort in the sovereignty of God. The Lord is still in control, and the Lord is still involved in the lives and the details of His children. God ordained government for the good of the people. God rules the nations, even while rebellion rages in many spheres on our planet. The Apostle Paul finds himself alone in a foreign city, Athens, Greece. As he explores the city, he sees the great need for God Almighty. We are told that Paul was provoked in his spirit. Now, the Apostle Peter talks about Lot, who was living in Sodom, in a similar fashion. For as that righteous man, Lot, lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Today, I am provoked in my spirit. I am provoked by the corrupted church of our culture that has brought the world into the church and reflects the values of the world instead of those laid out in Scripture. I am provoked by the corrupted church that seeks to bring people in to entertain them and to create a country club of false and misleading doctrine. I am provoked in my spirit by the politicizing of every issue. Everyone seems to have an agenda upon agenda. I am provoked by the devil's promoting isolation, his creativeness in finding ways to separate us and to carve out the weak and the sick and the lame, so that the roaring lion who roams the world looking to see who he can devour never goes hungry. I am provoked in my spirit that evil is called good and good is called evil. There is a great opposition to truth. I am provoked in my spirit that leaders lie with such ease and deny the truths of God. I am provoked in my spirit that opposes the things of our Lord. I am provoked in my spirit by the sophistication of propaganda and deception. Now, recently I saw on social media a photograph of the Lincoln Memorial being defaced by what the poster claimed was rioters. And I wondered, how low could we be? This can't possibly be real. And upon further investigation, I learned that in fact it was a fake photo. It had been photoshopped so that what we were seeing was not real. It was not true. Do you know what deep fake video is? Well, I've only recently learned what deep fake video. That is when it is altered so that a person or events are conveyed in a way that is a lie. They're saying something that they didn't say originally, or they're doing something that they didn't really do. But you're seeing with your eyes. You have been faked. So where do we find truth? We only can find God's truth in God's Word. And I pray that we can find truth here at Emmaus Church as we base all that we do on God's Word. And if we do not, if we are not following the Scriptures, we will correct it. Paul was provoked by the rampant idolatry that always leads to lawlessness. While in our technologically advanced age, it is unlikely that we would literally worship wood or metal objects, Paul describes the process of making idols that we can relate to in this modern age. He defines idols as those things designed by the art and imagination of men and women. Yes, we certainly have idols in this modern day. I fear that instead of Christians taking up their cross and following Jesus, they are taking up a mirror. The worshiping of self is central in our culture. We hear it not only from pop psychology, but we often even hear the promotion of self, your best life now, in words coming from the pulpit. Your idols determine how you see the world. They establish your values. Think of them as a lens. Now, there may be different filters for these lens, but these idols end up controlling our behavior. Politics seems to be a primary idol in our country. Whether you are blue or red and your personal philosophies, that seems to come before what the Scriptures tell us to do. Certainly, we all know that money is an idol. Money can be used for good or it can be used for evil. And it's not money that's evil, but the love of money that is the root of all evil. So, it's how you use it that's important. But in any case, it should not be your primary focus. It will lead you astray. The Scriptures talk about it being a snare. And of course, power is certainly an idol. Isn't that behind a lot of what is happening in our American culture today? As different groups vie for control and power, to stay in office, to gain more territory and secure the future for their party. We all know that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Paul deliberately engaged people in order to share the good news of Jesus. Where did he go? His normal practice was to go in the synagogue first. For in the synagogue, he would find people that understood the Scriptures, the Jews and the converts to Judaism. And he could find common ground with them, and he could demonstrate that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah from the Scriptures. He would go into the marketplace. Now, the marketplace represented daily living. That's where trade happened. That's where you got the latest news. It was the place of social media in its day, where relationships were formed and connected and built upon. And Paul ended up in the Areopagus, which was a place of public debate by the intellectual elites. Now, these Epicureans were known for pursuing contentment and denying that the gods were involved in human life. And of course, Paul preaches exactly the opposite of this, that God is involved in the details and the breadth of human life. And the Stoics were known for controlling the passions through reason and discipline, thereby cultivating a virtuous life. So, they would be prone to follow a works-based religion. So Paul talked to the common folk in the marketplace, whoever happened to be there, and he also brushed shoulders with those in the Mars Hill community, the upper crust from the different pagan temples, the schools of thought, and philosophers of that day. What about the issue of their response? Well, only some believe. We have two that were named, Dionysius and Damaris, and others with them. But the vast majority did not respond to Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles. That should free us up to know that the burden is not on us how people respond. It is our responsibility to share Jesus and turn it over to God the Holy Spirit to convert hearts. So Paul proclaims to them the unknown God. And I wonder today, in how many places, the God of the Bible is unknown. Paul proclaims the God who put a yearning in every human heart. There's an old-time preacher named Principal Fairbairn. He called this yearning divine homesickness. Our Creator needs nothing from us, nothing made from human hands. But the Creator is the source of everything for us. We're told that even our very breaths are a gift from the Creator. And this unknown God, made from one man, every nation of mankind, to live on all the face of the earth. This should have jumped off the page to us in our heightened awareness of division, divisiveness, hate, and bigotry, and racism. This should be so clear to us. God made from one man, Adam, one woman, Eve, all the peoples of the world. We share a common parent. When we interact with others, we should remember that we have these common parents, that we are the same no matter what the outward appearance may look like. That God made every nation of mankind from this first couple to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods in the boundaries of their dwelling place. Yes, our God is intimately involved in the history of humankind and in the details of every person's life. Well, for what purpose? Why was each of us created? Every person is to seek God, our Creator. It is the desire of God's heart that we seek Him. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Psalm 14, 2. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. God calls people to seek him. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Amos chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. For Gilgal will surely go into exile, and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the house of Joseph like a fire. It will devour, and Bethel will have no one to quench it. Now the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, tells this story about Methodists, which I thought was interesting. Spurgeon says, I read in the life of John Wesley a story of Methodists meeting in a barn. The early Methodists were forced to meet in fields and barns because they were not welcome in the local churches. Well, these Methodists meeting in a barn, these villagers, they were afraid to break in through the door during the service, so they resolved to place someone inside that would open the door to them during the service, that they might go in and disturb the congregation. This person went in before the service began and concealed himself in a sack in a corner of the barn. When the Methodists began to sing, he liked the tune so well that he would not get out of the sack till he heard it finish. Then followed a prayer. And during that prayer, God worked on the man in the sack so that he began to cry for mercy. The good people looked around and were astonished to find a sinner in a sack seeking his Savior. When we are saved through faith in Jesus, we are gifted with eyes of faith so that we can actually see the hand of God working all around us. He truly is near. In Proverbs 8, verse 17, we read, God says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. And then Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14, the 11th verse, very familiar, often used today, and unfortunately used out of context, but listen to these verses. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. Yes, many of us live in captivity. Truly, we are God's offspring, every one of us. This should frame our interaction with all we come across. For they all are our neighbors. They all are our brothers and sisters. We all have one set of common parents, Adam and Eve. Like a fish lives in water, we live in our God. We live and move and have our whole existence in God, and too many of us are like those fish that are oblivious to their environment. Our environment should be and is in fact God. In his love and patience and his forbearance, he overlooked arrogance. But now we have no excuse. We have been warned. We are called on to repent, for the resurrected Jesus will judge us on the designated day, a day that we cannot know. My friends, I want you to find comfort in God's presence. I want you to find comfort in God's sovereignty. Find comfort in the peace that is beyond understanding. Our Jesus promises us peace. He told his disciples on the night before he was crucified, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I call on you to seek your God continuously, for in him you live and move and have your being. Seek God in order to know God in an intimate, personal relationship. Know that you are loved, and that in that love, your grateful heart desires to share that knowledge of God, that experience of God, with all you come across." Amen and amen. Let us pray. Holy and perfect, mighty God, we thank you for the blessing of your word. We thank you for this obvious truth that there's no place for pride in our lives. For you have created us, and all that we are, we owe to you. We are no better than anyone else, for we are all God's offspring. We all share a common heritage. Lord, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for every person, that all that is necessary for salvation has been completed by him, and that we must believe, not just an intellectual assent, but trust in the work of Jesus Christ, so we are reconciled to our Father, so we can be bold in Christ, in Christ's character, in Christ's love, in Christ's sacrifice. Lord, give us a desire to reach others. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to prepare each day for us our walk, so that we may cross paths with a brother or sister that you're calling home to them. I pray this all in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen.